meeting of Medina County Board of Supervisors, except for the pledge of allegiance, all very open and silent.
To God, the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Go ahead and open up the county administrator's report, Mr. Nichols.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, just two things to cover with you tonight, and then get on to the agenda. Jonathan McMahon, our IT, every once in a while, like usually three or four times a week, comes up with brilliant ideas. Another really good idea, a great shortcut, I just want to show you this. If you used to go to our website to pay your tax bill, you could pay it electronically. There's a little fee for that because it's an online service. But you'd have to select this, and then select this, and then select this, and select this to drill down to it. So when you click on the web link now, and take it in there, it's really a nice feature. And maybe we can make it easier for people to get to it. So just go to pay taxes online, and it drills right down to Louisiana County. And, you would think that's not a very hard thing, but unless you know how to do those things, unless you know how to set it up and get it drilled down and make it work for our website, it's really a nice added feature, so I appreciate you taking care of that. And almost all these brilliant ideas he comes up with on his own. And if you could just tell me a little farther in advance, I can take them with my own patent, but he keeps telling other people about it too, so he gets credit for this thing because he did it all by himself. Really good stuff, and that's another good service just for citizens because it's anytime we can make the service aspects of what we do easier, it's the better. Today's Peace Officer Memorial Day, and you'll see the flags that have staff today in honor of the peace officers, fallen peace officers, and that's the ends at sunset tonight from the half staff on our flags. May is also Foster Care Appreciation Month, and the social services staff has sent flowers out to the foster parents to thank them for all they do. We appreciate remembering our foster parents this month if they're lucky to need. Saturday was kind of the first annual micro deal. It was sponsored by a variety of different groups held in the Lake Monticello Volunteer Fire Rescue Station. And a lot of groups participated, but I was at the river with my granddaughter, and Sherry hasn't helped, so I didn't get her to the rodeo, but by all accounts, it was really a great event on Saturday. Lots of folks helped with the children at Monticello Volunteer Fire Rescue. And the Charlottesville Area Mountain Bike Club donated helmets for the kids. Fulton County Sheriff's Department, especially Deputy Morrison, was right there helping out the entire day. And Scott Scudamore, a community member who does a lot for the Parks and Rec group, and then also Jason Smith, the Parks and Rec director. But over 50 kids participated, and a really good event, first time. And you can see some of these really great pictures of kids getting outfitted with helmets and going through the trials and get the certificate of completion that Jason put together for this thing. So really great job and another good community event to keep our kids safe. The drug take back a while back, I talked about that on the Saturday. They did it at police stations around Central Virginia, but ours was very successful. It was 90 pounds of excess medications and things that were taken out rather than put it in the landfill rather than put it down your toilet increasing the Prozac for all of us. People actually turned it in, and that David Wells coordinated that great job again. Very easy and simple. And almost every family has some excess prescription drugs sitting around that you need. It's simple to throw up in the trash or throw them down in the toilet, but that's not the best way to do it. Kids who get a hold of those, putting in a safe place and bringing into these trainings a couple times a year really makes good sense. Appreciate it. Drum roll. Your Lordship has been working hard in this one with the county attorney. Those two of the three excess vehicles that got put on GovDeals.com a week or so ago actually sold today. We've got $2,600 back in the Louisiana County Coffers.
Look at those things.
I can't wait to free up all the space and all the kind of the junk that's been collecting over years, like any organization has. Those people did a good job, and we could end up getting a significant chunk of money. For whatever purpose the Louisiana County Board of Supervisors appropriates and helps our county. So might as well take advantage of those kinds of things. But I really appreciate the county attorney's office helping us get that policy in place and then
those vehicles aren't good at all?
They're not good to us. We are looking at it first on whether we could reuse it within the county for any county purposes. And in almost all cases, we would do that if it were acceptable for our...
But you can't donate them?
It's conceivable they could be donated.
But I don't have a lot of times parents just pulling them for reuse.
You mean to an individual?
Yeah.
Oh, I know that. I don't know. An organization, maybe, but...
Backup. I don't know. I thought they had them donated.
I would think that Macca could get a $1,000 vehicle off there pretty good if they needed one, but we'd have to ask the county attorney what they...
I wasn't sure. I don't know if I'm those vehicles.
No, yeah, but it's not just a vehicle.
Well, they're all going to require support. Yeah. And, you know, especially police vehicles and stripped of gear and equipment to cannibalize it a little bit. So the conditions are known online and they have pictures of things, but we'll continue to look to see if there's opportunities as well as they can. Cindy Hoffman, our librarian and her staff have the summer reading program coming up. You see some flyers in front of you there and out in the front of the lobby. And then this is the several page flyer that comes out. All the different events are coming up through the summer for kids and their families. And I like to design your own button box. Mm-hmm. Kind of helps my granddaughter will do that and then take it back to her house. A lot of fun and a lot of things for kids to do this summer through the summer season. And just a reminder too, if you want to get an electronic book, you can get an e-book on your Kindle or on your Kindle app because our library does electronic books too. And so you can check out electronic books through the public library, which is a great service. And let's see, we also finally made a selection. We're very pleased to announce that Cheryl Wilkins, is our new emergency services coordinator. She's not here tonight. She was just accepted on Monday. She'll be here to start work on May 28th, and we'll have her at the June 5th meeting. But a great experience at a higher level. She hasn't been a frontline EMT or firefighter or a police officer, but a really good experience to help a great deal in consolidating, coordinating, collaborating with all those agencies that make up our emergency services cadre. And we were pleased to have her on board, and appreciate the sheriff helping with the interviews. He was at each interview last week with all the candidates and the follow-up interviews. Worked out really well. We're in the middle of interviews for the assistant public works director position, and that there's five candidates that we've been interviewed for. We have one more, and then we'll schedule our follow-ups if need be, and hopefully get a selection out of that cadre as well. A reminder that the Virginia Association of Counties has a regional meeting. The one for our area is Thursday, May 30th. It's at 7 p.m. at TJPDC downtown at Water Street Center. And so that's a pretty good event to go to. It's an evening one, but it has lots of good topics and updates for us. I certainly will try to be at that one.
Since I represent the Board of Directors for the 5th District, I would appreciate it if some of my members would be.
You've been warned.
I'm
playing golf that day and have a test for humanity, so. I'm playing golf that day for that test.
Oh, you are?
Yeah, he'll be done by 7 o'clock, though, so I can't see you on your website. So, anyway, that's at the TJBC on May 30th at 7 p.m. Just a couple updates. The State Office of Emergency Medical Services, you know, may have made you aware of this before. State does their biennial inspections of our rescue services. They did Lake Monticello Rescue. This was 2 weeks ago Monday, a week ago Monday, and Lake Monticello came through flying colors and got their full 2-year licensure. Again, they operate under the auspices of the Savannah County Authority. And through that rescue, we got provisional licensure. Their re-inspection will be on July 29th, Monday, July 29th. I participated in both inspections, and I'll be there for the research as well as our new emergency services coordinator to assist in any way we can. Code Red, just a reminder, Sheriff's going to put out some additional reminders. We'll put it in our fan mail. Code Red is on our website. Code Red is on the Sheriff's website. A lot of you may have phone apps. You can get it on your smartphone to be able to get notifications about emergencies or events. There was a notification a couple weeks ago about the paving, the unannounced paving on route on Highway 15. You see that sitting here? The unannounced paving on Highway 15. We put out, the Sheriff's Office put out a reminder about that, or a notice about that. Because
delays in school buses and getting to work and things. The problem is, people see that code red symbol and they think, oh, I'm already signed up, I've already done that. It's a new code red. When the new contract came about, we were actually going with a different company. That company was subsequently bought off by code red, and then there's some tweaks to the system. So you actually have to reload the app or re-sign up, either through the website or through the app on your phone. So please take time to get loaded up there. My wife couldn't figure out why somebody was calling her, you know, with an emergency message telling her that the traffic on Highway 15 was being blocked, because I hadn't told her that I'd signed up for code red on the new one, and she got the phone message at home. Of course, I got it on the phone too, but you can get it in a variety of different ways. But it's a great way for us to communicate with a broad swath of people, either through a targeted area or the entire county. So please take time for everyone to sign up for code red. And it's very easy to do, very quick and painless, and there's no cost and no tracking. We just push information out to you from an emergency basis to make sure people are aware of what's going on the issue. I'm planning on vacation the 7th through the 15th. I'm going back to the homeland for a week and going to take my daughter to the Immaculate Football in Green Bay. And so I'm not sure we'll be acting this week. There's a variety of people that are on vacation, so I'll figure out one and let you all know. But it's a Friday to a Saturday, so it's just really that's my work days. But I'll be to and from Wisconsin. And then just a few things that are still underway, reviews going on. We will be working on getting those building numbers to you and do a kind of a big brief at maybe one of the afternoon meetings coming up so we can get some plant costs for the various things to look at the utilities costs across the board for the facility. We do have some interesting facility cost numbers and utility cost numbers. The gym at Carysburg is a kind of a gas hog, except I think it uses fuel oil. One of the most inefficient places around, for sure, the big glass windows that are not always closed tight, there's no ceiling to them, and it's an old antiquated system, but we need to look at that pretty hard. Hopefully we can improve the efficiency of the carriage complex by the upgrades to the AC systems in the Performing Arts Center.
I'm curious about the lab.
Okay, yes, and that is on our list, because of the geothermal,
yes.
The cost, the geothermal use. Aspects of that, so we'll give you some cost comparisons over time.
Square, but no,
anyway. Absolutely. Okay. And any other questions you can answer for the board?
We need to make a provisional for the university.
Sure. Like in almost any inspection, there's really three ways to go when it's licensure is required. You can either get not certified, not able to use your license. They would not be able to run provisionally because there was findings on the inspection, things that need to be fixed or repaired or updated, maybe something as simple as some paperwork or the authorizations for each vehicle have to be posted in vehicles. It may be equipment related, it could be personnel, lack of personnel, it could be personnel records related or training related, it could be all of those things. But normally when you get provisional license, it means there are some aspects of the operation you need to get fixed or changed or updated before they come back and re-inspect. In almost all cases, in my experience, having served on Inspector General teams for a number of years, if you get provisional licensure, you almost always are able to get fixed, back on track, ready to go, things quickly resolved before the next inspection. What is bothersome is when you know about the inspection well in advance, we know about these 60 to 90 days in advance. And they're a very clear checklist. You should be able to just kind of go down through checklists. But we just have to work a little more collaboratively and making sure that everybody knows that there's always help available for these things. But you kind of have to want it. So some concerns there, but we met at the Fire Rescue Association meeting Monday night and discussed this a little bit. We'll see how it goes. But as long as it's on board, it'll be a priority. We'll look right at that. And you've got 2 months from the day after she gets on board until the re-inspection. And we're in touch with the state and OEMS reps all the time about this. So, it's unfortunate, but a lot of things can be fixed really fast. There were 2 ambulances that were also pulled offline of the 5.
Any further questions from County Administrator?
Where are we at in the voluntary tax contribution?
The work group is getting put together to be able to assess all the different alternatives and options so that we can come back early in the summer and present something to the board to say, here's the kind of things that can happen. There's still some ongoing questions about what is legal, not legal, what's the best way to go about it. We'll present all those alternatives, and then that will come to the board and you can decide on how you want to implement that.
Any other questions?
Honestly, I don't have an answer for today, because I just don't know even how we're going to redesign the tax form to get it printed on there and put it on the right way, put it on the right side of the form, the right wording, so it doesn't look like it's an additional tax, those kind of things, and also be able to make it available on the website. So that's a pleasant thing we're working on.
It's being worked on.
It's indeed being worked on. It's just been really busy for the last 2 or 3 weeks, so we've had to prioritize the things we're working on, and we can't get everything done all at one time, but it's not on the back burner, it's on the list of being worked.
Anytime that's going to be presented to you?
If I go to All Stop and everything else, I can have any more. Truly, I'm for slam.
Mr. McMahon? Can I borrow your person?
Yes.
voluntary taxation, is there an issue with that? And what exactly are we looking at that's taking up so much time?
As far as people being able to write in an amount to.
Obviously, they'd be able to do it online, but they don't. Yes. Let me say one thing before we go on.
Yes, sir.
I strongly advise you not to talk about voluntary taxes.
Okay.
These are not taxes, it's voluntary contributions. And I think that's very important because it could. I don't want to. The concept is a very good one. And it can be very productive, and I don't want anything to impair it. So please do not talk about voluntary tax.
I apologize for mischaracterizing the effort. Voluntary contributions.
I don't see that it would be any problem on the ITN just because it would just be simply be another category of payment.
Sure.
Just like you can go in right now and select either personal property or real estate taxes. I'd have to confer with finance, but on the IT end, it seems that part would be.
Okay. I mean, is there any resistance from the treasurer's office in terms of processing something like this?
I really have not dealt with her on this particular issue. I don't think that there is.
I would imagine that would be the proper recourse to go ahead and align something like this. I mean, obviously, the treasurer's office would be the one who had to collect it, whether it was a hand donation, cash, or online.
Right.
I don't understand. I mean, Prince Edward County is as enacted. We're not recreating
The collection method will be.
And Green County is just voted in. So we're still working on the process, not necessarily the technology.
Yeah, on my side, the collection method would be the exact same, and whatever it's called, that's what we put in, and that's an option for them to select. I don't think it would be a problem IT-wise.
Thank you, Mr. McMahon.
Yes, sir.
I imagine the county treasurer's not here this evening, is she not? I suppose not. Okay. Mr. Lager?
Yes.
Can I borrow you for a second?
Sure.
So, obviously you can't answer your county treasurer at this point in time. What exactly are the impediments at this point for voluntary contributions?
I mean, from my end, you know, none. Right. You bring the money in and we'll record it. And, okay.
Thank you, Mr. Walker. I appreciate it.
If it were that simple, it would have been done yesterday. But we're working on it.
So we have to have some general rules documented down so people know we do, number one, three, do we not need something like that? And then does the treasurer not have to have instructions as to how that is to be, who it's to be given to, under what conditions do we not need these or not?
Well, you're going to have to make some decisions. You're going to have to make some decisions. So, for example, do you want to limit this to general contributions, or do you want to allow somebody to come in and say, I want to make a donation to
school
maintenance of baseball field?
Sure. Yeah.
I mean,
that's
no.
Seems to me that the public needs to be really tried in some way. I don't think you just jump right into it unless you some kind of publicity, some advertising, some information.
Well, we need to get it done.
Yeah, I think you put it out there and then announce the vote. Here's what we have. Here's the process you follow.
Yes.
And
the
but
and the contribution's here.
Mr. Nichols, then next meeting, the county treasurer would come here and repost it exactly what the real blocks are. And if there are none, then Mr. Ellenberg, I would encourage you on behalf of the board to go down there and talk to her, to Ms. Lunder, and find out precisely what our amendments are at this point in time. They don't seem to be technological, it seems to be more process-oriented, so if there's a solution that's to be had, and she can present that to the board of supervisors so that we can act more expeditiously on that. Is there anything else for the county administrator at this point in time? Okay, very good. Mrs. Boger, yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm just thinking. If someone wants to contribute $100 to baseball field, whatever, whose budget does that go in?
Parks and Rec.
They have to have a line in their budget saying contributions.
There's no holdup here. It is just very busy with lots of things going on, and there are things that have to be looked at because the internal processes have to be resolved. There is no one stopping this, no one holding this up. I don't have any problem at all. I think this is a great idea. I'm just trying to find time and staff effort to be able to research it, identify it, give you all the pros and cons of what could be a problem, not the stops it, but what could be a problem, so you can decide on how to resolve that specific issue and where the dollars go.
Yeah, because it appears that there's a problem on the county staff end of things, and this is led her some processes that she believes she needs to bring up to us, and I'd like to hear that.
There isn't any problem with doing this.
Correct.
The question is
implementing it. And that's where it sounds like Mrs. Lunder,
and I just want to see some movement.
That's all. So we just need Mrs. Lunder to retire the process. I want to see it needs to be done.
So I want to see some movement out there.
So we're not here to decide. You'll be able to speak to the county treasurer. The county treasurer will come in the next meeting tonight. We'll figure out exactly what that iterative process is and start proceeding.
She's not the hold up here either because she hasn't done anything with it yet because we haven't pushed her to do it because she's in the middle of a bill season. Mm-hmm. She's collecting taxes and collecting those bills.
Right.
So there's not much she's been working on other than that. June 5th is coming pretty quick, but we'll have answers along that line and we'll actually be here on the June 5th meeting. But it's a pretty busy time.
I'll touch base in my common fortunately.
Sunshine and sweetness is always. Any further questions for the county administrator at this point in time?
Okay, done.
Hearing none, we'll go ahead and move into our first round of public comments. Again, please remember to keep your comments directed to the board on topic and within 5 minutes. Mr. Custer.
Hi, my name is Jerry Custer. I live at 28 Covered Bridge Road. What I want to do today is come to the board just to bring an issue I found with the way the school systems are structured now. Our 7th grade students have no place to play football competitively in this county. There's a couple of us that's trying to get a team together to do that. There's already 2 leagues in this team, but both of them aren't fielding that age group. One team actually said go to Charlottesville and play. And so what we're trying to do is to get this under. I went to about everybody I knew in the county to try to take it on or whatever. And I guess what I'm coming to you guys to see if there's any grants or anything to help out to get this going for, like I say, because if not, our 7th graders are going to be sitting and not playing. Just like I say, because our high school's taking all of our 8th graders and playing on the freshman team. And all the other leagues have 7th and 8th graders. We can field a team, but now we're undermanned and our kids are just, they're not going to have a fair advantage to progress in that. So
what you're saying right now, I'm sorry. Well, Mr. Custer finishes comments before the board, and then we'll go ahead and field questions. How's that?
Sure. But, and that's what I was coming to you guys, just to see if there's any way, like I say, for any support to get this going. We actually put 275 flyers in at the middle school to try to get the kids. The biggest thing with starting one, each kid that signs up with the registration fee, we're already $183 behind because of the uniform, helmet, shoulder pads that we have to get. So that's what we're doing. We're looking to do car washes and all that. So, like I said, just coming to see if there's any grants or anything that we might be able to help out this cause to get these kids to play. And my feeling is if they don't play and miss a year, they're probably not going to come back. and we're going to lose them on that.
Is there always been that void?
That void started last year when they moved the high school, 8th grade, and I didn't go and try to pinpoint who made the decision to have the 8th graders or do a 9th grade a freshman team, but all other sports, the 8th graders try out for JV, the ones that don't make it come down and play middle school. But with football, they all play the 9th grade team, and so we have no pool of 8th graders.
Are you doing this by age? Could it be possible that 6th graders could play as well?
Yes, this is a U-12 team, so basically 11, 12-year-olds will be able to play. I'm actually not targeting. People ask me that. I'm actually not targeting 6th graders because if we get too many 6th graders, then the 7th graders still don't have a place to play. But yes, 6th graders can play on this team.
And you'll have somewhere to practice?
Yeah, we worked with Mr. Leach at the middle school. We're going to practice there. Working with the high school to do facility usage to use the high school field for games. The games are consisted in Louisa, Orange, Charlottesville, and Madison. It's not like a travel team. This is more or less a rec team that we're trying to get together that's a void that nobody has picked up.
Is it school-sponsored or is it...
Right now, you know, I went to both schools, and they think it's a great idea, but no, they won't pick me up. We're trying to get something going. If they want to pick it up, we're more than happy to hand everything over to them and let them roll with it. But right now,
the major cost in all of this is literally one-time
equipment cost. Yes, I mean the first year is the one-time equipment cost. Like I say, it's I had a little budget of 37 kids. And it was right around between 13 and 15, you know, minus a couple of practice equipment. But just basically with helmet and shoulder pads, you're talking a good $10,000 to start up 37 kids. And we are charging $125 per kid. But like I say, adding it all up, we're still in the hole $183 per kid.
Concerned about if you started this year and it does cost and no one takes it over, the school system doesn't, the parks and recreation doesn't, then it's lost. Is it any future? What's the future of these teams if we're starting off kind of?
My wife asked me the same question. My wife asked me that same question. How far was I looking to take this? I can't say that I will be here for a while, but I believe that there, you know, the people in this county, there's a couple people that if it doesn't go to a Parks and Rec, if it doesn't go to the school, they will keep 7th grade. There's always going to be 7th graders. There's always going to be somebody passionate. I don't have a 7th grader right yet, but I mean last year I saw it and I didn't act on it, and what they did is they had a team, but they tried to pull a couple 8th graders, which pulls again from a high school team, and I'm not one to try to do, you know, yank from here to there, but like I say, neither league in this county is having a team for that age group this year. Thank you, Board.
Do you have comments on this?
Well, questions. I mean, this is really kind of the will of the Board. The same thing happened, not with loss of a team because we didn't have a team, but the same thing happened with the cross league a year and a half, 2 years ago. And it's not Parks and Rec sponsored or school sponsored. But in this case, we have to establish a precedent on how we want to do this. If you want to establish a league, you have to decide whether you want it to be, as formulated now, a tryout league. So you have to try out to get on the team. Most Parks and Rec sponsored events in our county now, and the fee schedule is based on a non-tryout versus tryout. And when all comers get the chance to do it, and then the $10,000 or $15,000 upfront cost. So an upfront cost for any kind of thing you have to do. Football is just a little more expensive than some, but there's still going to be a tail cost because you have to replace equipment and gear and things like that. We just need take on a new sports function under Parks and Rec. We just need to understand what the rules are going to be, because there'll be others coming forward with the kind of league and things like that. Not a bad thing. Sports are great. I love the idea. I just don't know how to operationalize it based on prior rules in our county, because the lacrosse one was done as a private organization. All the existing, except for youth basketball, all the existing ones are private organizations that happen to use, get supported by Parks and Rec, or use Parks and Rec fields and things. But anyway, we just need to know the parameters for that, because it's a little different than kind of that. So, it's a good idea, but it would be a little outside the norm. We certainly know existing resources set aside for that purpose.
Obviously, I know that Parks and Rec is talking to Mr. Custer and whatnot.
Yeah, that was the first place I went. And to address your thing, this is not a tryout. I mean, like I say, I got on a high school coach 2 years ago when he cut kids. You do not need to cut kids in football. You need every one of them. And yeah, I mean that's. I mean, and I have a group that are adamant about that. I mean, there's a lot of people that you want to cut kids, but I have a very good friend of mine who helped me coach, and he was very horrible at peewee football, and he was a 3-year starter at UVA. So you don't know what a kid is going to do at 7. You don't know what a kid's going to do, you know. So in that aspect, that's why I went to Parks and Rec. I was, you know.
In Orange and other places, they have teams. Are they through the school system?
No, they're
all like you want.
They're through AAU, they. Because there's no really programs up there either. I mean, most of the middle school, except for some Charlottesville, don't even have a middle school team. You know, just like us, but they don't have a freshman team either. I mean, there's some, but.
Well, I imagine that we'll have further conversations on this. And, Jason, I'm sure that you'll come back with a report in about 2 weeks as well.
We can do that.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Custer.
Thank you.
I appreciate your time. That was a very extended 5 minutes. Well done. Is anybody else wish to address the board? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close that round of public comment and move into the public hearing. VDOT 6-year plan for fiscal years 2014 through 2018-2019. Mr. DeNunzio.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. I'm Joel DeNunzio. I'm with VDOT in the Charlottesville Residency Office. I'm here tonight with Greg Banks. We're here to present the secondary 6-year plan in draft form to you. You should have received the latest plan. I'm going to go over each item in this plan. I would like to note two things before I start, though. After the work session, you will see two new projects added in this plan, Route 600 and 633, which were a result of the work session with the board that we had a few weeks ago. The front page of the plan is basically the allocations, the funding allocations you have. The new allocation we have this year is the CTB Formula Unpaved State Funds. This is the first year we've had those funds. We have found a project to allocate those funds to, and I'll get to that in a minute. Then we also have the secondary unpaved road funds, the telefee funds, and then starting in fiscal year 2017, we have some formula state funds. The first page of the plan, the first two projects are the projects that are currently under construction in Fluvanna County. The first one, 632 Ridge Road, we believe the completion date on that project is going to be June of this year. There are no funds allocated to there, but that has to be on the plan right now because it is an active construction project and it will stay through until all the bills are complete on that. The 653 roundabout is the second on the plan there. That project is substantially completed and that is also on the plan just to close it out. The next project is a bridge replacement project, Remo Road, Route 656. They have PE and right-of-way funds on that at this time. The next two projects are your rural rustic projects, Route 715, Route 606, Stag Road and Hell's Bend Road. Those projects will be started and completed this summer, and they are fully funded. The next two projects are the projects that were added as a result of the work session. Route 600, Paynes Mill Road, from Route 250 to Route 633. This is a minor widening project. It was previously on a 6-year plan. It was dropped for the lack of funding. You can see that there is funding allocated previous funding and future funding allocated to that project at this time. The next project, Route 633 North Boston Road, minor widening project from Route 600 to Route 631. The remainder of the projects, and the next four projects, are new rural rustic projects, paving projects. The first one is Route 621 from Route 611 to the end of state maintenance, about 0.4 miles. The next is Route 675 from Route 6 to the end of state maintenance, about 0.5 miles. Then we have Route 687, 0.16 miles. And the last project we have on this plan is Route 636 Garden Lane from half mile north of 53 to the end of state maintenance. That is the project that had the traffic count that met the requirements of the CTB unpaved road allocations. The rest of these items are countywide items that we use for small projects that you request of us, mostly small maintenance projects that don't require right-of-way acquisition. Do you have any questions on this plan?
I still would like to go back to, it's 600 to 2 Painesville Road that concerned me, because it is very narrow there and has travel and has a lot of chances. Now that runs in the way of where the one you have here is that Route 600 to Painesville Road, or is it Painesville Road to 600?
The North Boston Road project? We have Paines Mill Road, Route 600. It runs from 250 to 633. Correct.
That wasn't the first critical one to me. To me, the one was bad. It's from 600, where it starts at Boston Road, north to Painesville, and then changes to 633. That stretch of road will change to 633, but 600 goes to Painesville Road, which continues 600 up to 250.
Was that on the previous plan? Any of the previous plans?
Was.
We had four projects on the previous plan, and these were the two that we understood to be the priorities. However, are we able to change that in some
way? We can.
That was previous?
That had been in the plan in years past.
That section had been in the plan.
Hold on, see, I'm a little confused too. I know if you take a stop off all the way to Union Mills, go straight across. And it goes straight across. That's North Boston. It goes all the way to Troyer Road. Then turn right, you go to the post office. You turn left, you go towards the development back there.
Okay, but it goes 600, 633 to 631 or something like that. I forget what the group numbers are right now. You just see.
We're just
600, 633, and then 633 continues down to 631. And the 631 is the from 252 Troyer Post Office. Turns into Route 15.
Right.
The segment of the road I'm talking about is the small segment from 600, and which says it coincides with 616. And there, 616 goes up to turns north west, I guess it would be, which is north of 15 Road. That is 600 all the way up to 250. And I believe what they identified is 250 to 633 and 600. And that, while that's, I drive that road to go to church, but the fact segment that really is bothersome to me is 633. It's where it connects to 633 to 616.
616. This section. Is it about 1 mile of road?
It's about a mile. Right. They're doing some work on that this week.
Is that what it is? See that circle there? Yeah. I think so.
Thank you.
We can pass it with that change.
Right? All right. Are there any immediate questions, Mr. D'Annunzio?
We can.
Yes, sir.
I believe you could pass it with that change, and then we wouldn't have to go through it again. And we'll make the change and send it back.
Go ahead and open up the round of public hearing again. Please remember to keep your comments short, 10 or 10 to 5 minutes on the topic. Anyone wishing to address the board? Seeing none, go ahead and close that round of public hearing. Are there any further questions from the board? Any further discussion? Obviously, we do have one change.
We'll ask if the change will go on 616, 600, and then 633 is currently goes towards 650.
No further questions about the motion.
Is this a motion?
I move to accept the resolution for the VDOT secondary six-year plan 2013-14 through 2018-19 and VDOT construction priority list 2013-14 as required by sections 33.1-23 and
33.1-23.4
of the
1950
code of
the
virtual
campus. So, with that, that for discussion during the public hearing.
Correct.
Any further discussion? Not. Have the vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Thank you, gentlemen. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you for being host of that very good.
Yes.
Moving on to action matters, we have a motion to accept the VDOT 6-year plan resolution. Mr. Popovich. We just did that. Duty Corporation Effective Duty Acts. The process is all.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, what we have before you is the LODA Trust Agreement. When the county decided to go from the VRS-run LODA program to the VACORP program, this document is more of just a clerical, more of a delayed clerical issue. It basically puts this issue into a trust, and the liabilities from the LODA are being recorded on VACORP's books instead of the county's. As we know, LODA covers volunteers and paid hazardous duty personnel and their survivors. Do you have any questions regarding this trust? It has been reviewed by Christina Hoffman. She had been in contact with VACORP's counsel, and she made a few changes with their assistance in regards to the trust agreement, and she had approved and revised the document as such.
Any questions for Mr. Dalton? Hearing none, we have a motion.
Mr. Chairman and members of the board, we have been working on the Zion project. We have had the planning staff, county planning staff, has had two meetings so far with the Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission. And I have a scope of work that covers everything that the county planning staff has proposed, and then Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission has taken it and finalized it. It covers the tasks and our schedule and the cost. Our tasks include consolidating existing plans, recording existing conditions, cataloging design best practices, developing graphics, writing the final document, and facilitating public and committee meetings. The schedule is what you have previously seen, basically, and it is a very tight schedule. We are really hoping to stay on task with this project because this is just the first in a series that we are attempting to do prior to writing our comprehensive plan. And it's important, I believe, to get to all the CPAs using this as a template for the others, and hopefully the others will go even faster. But hence, that's why we have such a small committee that we're forming. The cost, there is no cost from Thomas Jefferson Planning District Commission. They have an existing grant, and I asked them to change around some of our projects, and so we are, although they will be doing all the projects we have requested, they're just putting this one first, and so they are on board with getting this done by August. And as you can see on page 3, it breaks down for you the local staff time and the PDC staff time. There might be a little bit of cost for travel and printing, but that can come out of the planning department budget, and if there is any, I assume there will at the end. Yes, be some cost.
Any questions for Ms. Fincher at this point? No? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you. Ms. Fincher, you
I'm very much in favor of the way it sits right now with the two supervisors. Planning Commission, the chair of the chamber, president of the chamber, on staff, and TJPDC, of course. I think that will suffice in running out this short-term committee and would expedite the work that's got to be done.
I agree with Ms. Wilson. I think that's the best way to move forward on this. It's going to have other comments. This is really, we don't want to get too much in the weeds of this thing. Because it is going to be a way to set things up for us and that industry is wherever we would like to come to see that we can tell people what we would like. And I think this is the best way to want to get involved there.
Any further discussion? It's a question, sure, this really requires a motion. It's just a little bit worth doing an exception. The only other change we make here is that it's not a steering committee, it's a task force.
is it public? The meeting's public. Can people come sit and listen?
Yes, these will be meetings. They are sit.
Okay.
So I believe that the formation we have here is Mr. Chesser, Mr. Allenbrook, Ms. Eager, Mr. Zimmer. I think that covers virtually every single thing possible that would be affected by the Zion's Crossroads project and then Mr. Valentine of the Chamber. And then TJPDC leading it. I think that's a good cornerstone at this point in time when we have something that presents to the public. You go on the roadshow, you get all soaked in, crank out a final report.
It's a much simpler project.
Well,
then
we
go
into
the comments.
I agree. So, thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you.
Much appreciated. Moving on to EDA Conduit Board, Governing Body Resolution.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman, members of the board. What you have before you is what's called a governing body resolution. According to the code, you, as the governing body of Fluvanna County, need to approve any debt that the EDA would issue. The debt that we're discussing is what's considered conduit debt. As I've made clear under fiscal implications, the bonds will not be paid back by the EDA or by the county in any way, and it's on behalf of the Veritas School. Also included is that the EDA has passed the inducement resolution, and they held their own public hearing. There were no public comments, and fiscal impact statement is also included. Mr. Richard Holbert, who you're familiar with as our bond counsel, also serves as the bond counsel for the Veritas School. And so he's here to answer any questions if you have them on this bond resolution.
Are there any questions?
Is this under
last one, I think, was the Pantos Montessori School that was out through the EDA. And essentially, the old IDAs, the EDAs in the state of Virginia, part of their basic state statute charter is to do economic development, regardless of whether it's for your locality where they're constituted or not, they're to support the economic development throughout the county. So in this case, they happen to be the conduit for that agency to be able to get bank qualified loans, and then the EDA gets a collective fee from it. I think the EDA already quickly decided to send part of that fee or all that fee to the high school for CTE supplies.
How much was that fee?
$1,000. I don't know if that was the whole fee. I just know they did a motion meeting last week to send money to the
They earn a They'll earn a fee based on a percentage of the loan, correct?
I think the EDA's policy is that they'll collect $5,000 at the time that the transaction closes, and then $1,000 each year thereafter. They've already collected a $500 application fee in connection with the submission of the materials that they considered last week. So this will probably be a 20-year bond, so that would be, assuming it remains outstanding for its entire term, that would be $1,000 a year for 20 years.
And that money be divided out to maybe different places other than just the school, or is it?
Oh, that's the EDA's call. That's, you know.
So they haven't sat yet?
No, no. I don't believe. No.
We don't direct them in where the money goes, but there are some parameters they have as a board on how they use funds and where they put them.
You know, a couple things about the EDA, perhaps they need to be, they would maybe come and give us a presentation as to what's behind what they do and the things that they do for forest economic development might be useful. I'm a member of the chamber, and the first Tuesday we have a breakfast and we have someone come and speak to us about financing available, and we had one last week. I was wondering if maybe the EDA would do something similar, offer some type of presentation to the chamber, because I'm sure that some of the businesses maybe might want to be, have access to
that. I would love to have the board of supervisors encourage all those actions. Kind of switch that?
I guess that's what I
think. I would hope
that the EDA was here tonight and yeah. For this one. And, you know, the busy schedules, different individuals and things, but you know, I'd like to see some added visibility because I think it is a really good function. It's by state statute. We've got the ability to have that EDA constituted in our locality and do a lot of good things.
Yeah.
And, we can estimate raise the visibility.
How did the enrichment come all the way out here to Nana? You're not that on. Are we the only ones that have this?
Actually, it happened to be because Richard was aware of the Fluvanna County EDA,
right.
And they can't go through the Richmond EDA because the Richmond EDA issues Richmond City itself issues so many bonds that they couldn't get a bank-qualified loan. And our EDA has a $10 million each year capacity to do a bank-qualified loan where you get a lower interest rate. That just wouldn't be available through Richmond because they issue so much debt every year. So he thought of Fluvanna County and contacted the EDA's bond council, and that's how it came about. So.
Unfortunately, there are a lot of phone calls, and I'll take the rest of that. I don't know all that much about EDA. I had to kind of do a quick prank phone call to Mr. Penn to ask questions about it because I started getting inquiries from everywhere, slings and arrows. That's one of the things that I want to talk to the EDA about, maybe doing a little better job on the communication on the front side. because this one could have been explained better and could have been upfront. It is not asking Savannah County to be the debtor for somebody. It is a vehicle, and there is debt out there, but it's not our debt to pay or repay in that way. But whenever you say schools, and you say debt, and you say,
Veritas,
Savannah County, and Veritas sounds like a Latin word, and anyway, it goes on and on and on. We will, staff will try to assist them and do a little better communication coordination job, so that I don't have to go on TV and answer your questions, and these other phone calls in the middle of the night. And,
what kind of guarantee does this vehicle have that they'll get paid back?
I'll let you take that one.
Sure. it really is. This is really a fancy bank loan. Is what it is. So the bank that is going to purchase this bond it'll be a privately placed transaction. So there won't be any public underwriting. There won't be any bond trustee. It's just a deal between the bank and the borrower, and the bank has done its credit assessment of the borrower and is comfortable with the borrower's ability to repay. Yeah, there'll be a first lien deed of trust on the property that they're going to acquire and build for their campus. So that there will be real estate collateral that will secure repayment of the bond as well. So, but that is all, I mean, once the EDA assists through the process of issuing the bond, they are completely out of the picture. It's just a straight up loan between a bank and a borrower. It's really very simple.
And that's the kind of explanation, especially when it's an organization that just sounds different or doesn't sound like it's homegrown, then that kind of explanation would be what is really helpful. Now, the advertisement in the paper did say, way down at the bottom, not Savannah County, not taxpayer, but it's wrapping it and making people aware, because it created a lot of trouble in lots of areas. They have $10 million available on the bank qualified loans. This is $4 million. If the board or the county or some business or whatever thing they want to do, they can do up to $6 million more. And this is a calendar year.
Calendar year, yeah.
Calendar year. And that's the access they have to get bank qualified loans at the lower interest rates.
Is there any further discussion at this point in time?
Hearing none, yeah, motion.
I move the Board of Supervisors approve the resolution approving the issuance by the Economic Development Authority of Savannah County, Virginia, of its tax-exempt revenue bond in the amount not to exceed $4 million for the benefit of various.
Your second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Albrock, seconded by Mr. Chesser. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. It passes 5-0. Thank you, Mr. Urlacher. Moving on to our presentations, the Fort Union Streetscape update.
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, I'm here to bring you an update on the Fort Union Streetscape project. See if I can do two. Yeah, good. This project began in 2004, and the origin came as a result of the community planning meetings that were co-sponsored with between the county and the Planning District Commission. And those efforts came or developed of community plans for Lake Monticello, Palmyra, Zion Crossroads, and Fort Union. As part of that process, the community had input into developing the plans, and members of the Fort Union Village or the Fort Union community developed an interest in forming a group and with the interest of implementing the what was in the Fort Union plan. And they formed the Fort Union Village Project. They have been meeting monthly, sometimes twice a month, from 2004 to 2012. So they've been very active in seeing this project forward, and I suspect that they may regroup when the project resumes. The original project scope involved gateway entrance signs at north and south points on 15 and the eastern part of Route 6. Sidewalks, crosswalks, streetlights, bike lanes, and utility wires, moving them underground. The project scope was pretty quickly modified. The utility relocation added $1.7 million to the project cost. And while VDOT in the past did fund this type of project, or element of a project, the CTP board, because of funding cutbacks, shared with us that it's unlikely that they would be able to fund that, and so they were deleted from the scope. The gateway signs that were to be north, south, and west on 6 were removed from the project after the village project group rejected the designs that were put forward by the A&E firm that had been hired.
What was that?
They didn't like them.
They didn't like the signs,
and they decided that they could put forward better signs, and we'll have to see where that is right now. So they've been removed from the project. From a budget standpoint, they can be put back in the project if we have money for them and we can get an approved design. So we'll have to see if the group regroups and how much money is available for the project itself. Pardon me?
We like signage.
It's not that you couldn't do one and you didn't get it done, we could do it out of the county budget. But that's just one of the many machinations on this project that's problematic. This one's difficult. And the signage itself is a pretty easy fix. Well, if you get the folks that are on the committee to agree,
so the project initially. As I said, the project initially began with a design on the east side of Route 15, on the Academy side. In June of 2009, there was a public meeting that reviewed the design, and the input from that meeting and the new leadership within the village project spurred a change in the design that moved it to the west side of the road. That redefined the scope from the post office to south to the Dollar General store next to where the church cemetery is. And future phases for the east side of 15 were set aside for future phases. We started out on the Academy side, which is the east side. It's hard to do east.
It's still side of Highway 15.
Really?
It was on the Poole side of Highway 15, now the project moved to the Scottsville side of Highway 15.
Where the businesses are.
Right.
So that's where the design is now, and it extended farther south.
This way, before
it certainly does. When we moved farther south, we had to add surveying a larger area. And what we essentially ran into was prescriptive right-of-way issues, where much of the property along the business side of the Route 15 was owned by landowners to the center of the road, and not all of, and so in order to move forward, they would have had to have donated their portions of the land that was currently in use for sidewalk to the state as a permanent right-of-way, and we weren't able to get full cooperation for that. Not everyone wanted to donate their land. They didn't know that it wasn't their land, but once they discovered that it was, some of them weren't interested in moving forward on that. So, in lieu of that, the time that would have been required to resolve those prescriptive right-of-way issues was more than we wanted to take, so the scope got narrowed further. And it is now a base bid that runs from the post office to Pettit Foster Drive. And it involves curb and gutter, crosswalks, sidewalks, a grass utility strip, vehicle entrances, streetlights, and metering equipment for the lights. There's an alternate that will allow for dry-laid brick pavers in lieu of the grass utility strip that look like something like that. The VDOT transportation enhancement grants are broken up into alternates because the base bid, when it goes out for bid, must be funded or the whole project goes out to bid again. So in order to address that requirement, the bids are put out as a base bid and then subsequent alternates, so which are taken in the order offered. So the first alternate would be this brick strip. This is another rendition. On the bottom left is the existing roadway, and on the top right is a conceptual drawing that in this case actually takes out the utility lines, which we're not going to do, but it gives you a sense of what it might look like. Additional alternates would take Pettit Foster, or add all of what we did in that stretch, and add that from Pettit Foster south to Academy Road. Another alternate would be the same thing, replace the grass utility strip with brick. And then the final alternate would be to install street trees in areas that were prepared in the base bid. So in the base bid, they're going to cut out areas where you can plant trees. And if there's enough money, if we make it to alternate four, we can buy the trees and plant them. If not, we'll at least have a space to plant trees in the future. Yes, sir. You look like you're asking a question.
I'm waiting for you guys to talk a bit.
Okay.
I was wondering about how much money have we put into that book? What that figure was.
Okay. We will get to that on the final slide. So to recap, if I can figure out how to work this. Yeah, there it is. This is the base bid section. This is the alternate section, this dark line. And from here to here is the area that we had prescriptive easement problems, which will be put to the future. So base bid is the red line that runs from here to here, and the second alternate is from here to here.
That's on both sides of the road?
It's on the business side, on the west side only. Now, where the crosswalks, where there's a crosswalk, there'll have to be modifications done on the Academy side of the road. So if there's a sidewalk, there'll have to be ADA accessible areas. And I don't know if we're putting a street light on the other side or not. I'd have to go back to the design. But most of the work will be on the business side of the street. So from a budget standpoint, we were awarded two VDOT enhancement grants totaling $385,000 in grants, and the county match is $96,760 for a total of $461,760. We've contracted with Hill Studio out of Roanoke for a total of $81,735. So from a budget standpoint, it looks like we'll be able to fund the base bid and possibly alternate one. Our cost estimates right now were formulated in July of 2012. They'll be updated before we go to bid. The plans are to be submitted to VDOT within the next 30 days, hopefully for final approval. This will be the fourth submission seeking approval for the plans. Assuming that they are approved, we'll know then what the update is on the estimate and be prepared to go to bid. It's not likely that we'll be able to finish alternate 2 through 4. Although with alternate 4, we will make, there's a provision to create the space where trees will be planted, so the community could opt to plant trees in the spaces. So they're planting trees now?
Yeah, the trees, they're
Sorry to disappoint you.
I know, and I brought a talk in and said, oh, we have street lights. Where are the lights?
Going to Scottsdale, they have their lights.
I know, and in Scottsdale, we have problems.
I think if we're able to complete this section.
Yeah, stuff will happen. But we're going to get
here. If we're.
I'm very worried about it, but I'll be optimistic on your behalf.
Any other questions at this point in time?
Yeah, I think that was just gonna reiterate. If we get through this phase, if we get that one chunk done and people see it,
yeah.
And we also get some evidence of that, we present back to grand jurors and different things, the extensions of that may be easier in the future just because you got a stake in the ground.
That really is the hope.
But we really got to get that first phase in and get served somewhere. So.
Yes, is there any chance that we might lose the grant?
I think that if we move forward and the plans are approved and we're able to go out to bid, then we're good to go. If we go back and the plans fall short of 99%, we might be looking at having the funds rescinded.
How long do they ordinarily allow you to keep those grants without having certain earmarks?
They're pretty generous about it in terms of as long as you're showing progress and moving forward, they're prepared to work with localities. The transportation enhancement grants have come under national scrutiny for the amount of time that they take, and so they've increased their reporting requirements. If there's no activity on the project for 90 days, FHWA needs to be notified. So there's the scrutiny for completion is increasing just because of this national pressure for people taking so long to do these projects.
I'll remind you, as painful as this one is, this one was pretty painful too, but it's almost done here.
Yeah.
Some graphs out there. And
what is that? May the
30th. So we're really close.
Really close. And then I talked to the Fire Rescue Association on Monday night. Chief Bond is talking about in this summer sometime for a grand opening because they really need to get settled in and get stuff in there. But they're really excited to go forward and work really hard on the monitoring of the project. Pat, of course, put in a lot of the work on this through the whole phase of it. Mrs. Booker, a little bit of hand in helping us
too. I go to all those meetings and sit there and ask.
But anyway, it is nearing completion. And I'm hoping you'll say, gosh, as soon as they move out of the Fort Kennedy Fire Station, that we need to clean that up and turn it into Busby's office. Because it would be a really good thing.
Yeah,
yeah, I went through it about a month ago. And it's a monster, really. It's big.
It looks cosmetic a little different from the outside than the other ones, but it was just a matter of time and the grant monies that were available and things like that. But internally, it's pretty successful. It's
1988. Any further questions from the group this morning?
Thank you.
Thank you as always. Moving on to the consent agenda, we have the minutes of the May 1st meeting, FY14, FY15 school CIP, words and proclamation, county capital reserve maintenance fund request for HVAC system, and the school's capital reserve maintenance fund request for painting. Any item needs to be withdrawn?
Well, Jay had a typo.
Yeah, we fixed that, Mr. Weaver. I got that from you, and there's a couple of duplicate words in a row there in that one section.
Right.
The social services. And Mary's got that mark, the super has that mark, and we'll pull that out.
Okay. And then you have the...
Right, I did an alternative motion for you here on the HVAC, Mr. Weaver, on the HVAC request, just to actually put the dollar value in it, and then I'd put down the bottom of the current maintenance was for that item. So we'll try to make sure the dollar value is listed in the resolution, and then list the fund balance with it. We won't necessarily put it in the resolution because we made two or three action items that night, so I wouldn't know what the ending state was.
Right.
We'll have it very good to approve. So we'll have it down there. But right now there's currently 68,000 left for it. It's a little bigger scope than we originally planned because when they actually forgot to put the package, they were sourcing them from the contractor. We were going to do one at a time, but because the roof is here in place, that's already been approved, doing it both is one at a time and put it back and tear it out again. This doesn't make any sense. And he said, I can't remember, he said it's a fairly substantive savings if we do consolidate.
Yes, sir. Well, we've got one of the units has been down since about 2006. So this building's been operating off of one train on the roof, which causes extra strain on it, and it is now developing some serious problems. Basically, the repairs on the one that still works would run a little bit more than $17,000. Replacing either single unit by itself is about $21,500 or $40,500 to just replace both units at the same time. Basically, you're saving crane rental costs and things like that from having to do it in two separate items. So rather than, quote, save $3,000 by repairing the one unit, when you still end up with an old unit that just has some new parts in it, we thought it best to go ahead and just recommend that both trains be replaced at the same time. We've had a little bit of delays in the roof repair because of some issues regarding the actual structure of the roof and how many layers there might be there already. So the plan now is to basically combine the two projects, and we'll make it much easier to do the roof. We'll be able to completely remove the old HVAC stuff, do the roof, then drop the new AC stuff in place.
I will use this language if you concur in the package. So this will be the one that you've actually approved, not the one that's originally in the package. And we'll use this language associated.
Is there any objection? Okay. Okay, we have a motion on the consent agenda.
Yes, Mr. Chairman, I move that we approve the minutes and made 1st, 2013, the school CIP, Growth and Week Proclamation, County Capital Reserve Maintenance, and School Capital Reserve Maintenance.
Chair, second. Motion made by Mr. Weaver, second by Mr. Booker. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. It passes 5-0. Moving on to unfinished business, we have none. New business, we have two items of new business. Is there anyone else that has additional items?
We did have some unfinished business.
Mr. Weaver?
Yes, it goes back about 23 or 24 years.
Ooh,
yes.
You were going to move that.
Yes, I know. No, since Joe and Sean has announced they weren't running, I'm announcing that I am going to officially be a candidate for Cunningham District, and that's about all I have to say.
Congratulations, Mr. Weaver. We thank you for your 24 years of service.
24 years.
Outstanding. Moving on to the new business, we have a Garden Week proclamation.
This is brought to you tonight is because the Garden Week is actually the week of the next meeting, and you'd be halfway through Garden Week before the proclamation is approved. And we do, of course, a lot of it, honoring National Garden Week. And so there's your proclamation. And if so moved by the board, then we'll get the chairman to sign this and make it available to their position.
I thought we were good with the proclamation.
Is there a second?
Yes, sir.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Chesser. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. Only other item that we have is we have a vacancy on the BZA. Mr. Wendell Pollard, for those who are not aware, passed away last month. So we do have a vacancy available on that merely for a candidate to fill.
And we'll bring the list of names that people have. And remember, there's kind of a limited pool for BZA. Because you can't be on certain other types of boards except for a planning commission. It has some restrictions. And then once the board makes a nomination, the person goes to the circuit court to get actually be sworn in and appointed. So Mrs. Weaver will put together the package for you so we'll have it with Mrs. Finchin and then get a BZA number appointed. You're going to be getting a lot of vacancies come up because you've got kind of the term of the fiscal year. There's a lot of terms at the end of the fiscal year, June 30th. Mrs. Weaver actually just showed me before we came over tonight. She's created a new report. You've seen a couple of them recently that shows some vacancies and then some people that are on the boards for reappointment. What you're going to see now is a consolidated report. It'll show all at-large vacancies or upcoming vacancies. And then all by-district vacancies or upcoming vacancies. And you'll get that periodically throughout the year. So you can start keeping in mind candidates or talking to citizens about it. And I just looked at it before I came up. It's a really nice, easy, smooth reading report. And then the last column says where the incumbent comes from, even for the at-large position. So you'll have a good spread of if you've got five people on a board, you still would like to maybe have a good spread of localities within the county with different voting districts or skill sets. So you'll see that report at your next meeting. And I really appreciate the hard work that she and actually Michelle did in putting that together, because it's going to be a much simpler way for you to have at your fingertips information and the citizens, because you can see those things through the website.
Could you give me a couple of those applications, hard copy, please? I've had people inquire about it, and sometimes I hand them out. So
okay, sure.
That'd be very helpful.
We'll lay a pack of five of them.
Okay.
Fair enough. Do you have any other new business to report? Hearing none, go ahead and open the second round of public comment. Again, please remember to keep your comments directed to the Board of Supervisors on topic and within 5 minutes. Ms. Fossil.
Good evening. My name is Katie Clausen. I'm from Palmyra District. 2 weeks ago in the board meeting, we were told that we'd had citizen representation on this Zion's Crossroads Sketch Committee, or whatever it's called. There are at least two people in this room who have applied and sent applications in and contacted their board member, their respective board member. And somehow tonight the citizen representation disappeared and we no longer have citizen representation on that board. One other point is that I would respectfully submit that Ms. Patricia Eager not be put on this board because of her financial interest in the Crossroads area. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Clausen. Any votes wishing to address the board? Seeing none, we'll go ahead and close that second round of public comment. The board will be moving into closed session. Mr. Weaver.
Mr. Chairman, I move the Cleveland County Board of Supervisors enter into a closed meeting pursuant to the provisions of Section 2.2-3711. 8.1, discuss personnel matters. Section 2.2-3711, 8.6, to discuss investment of funds. Section 2.2-3711, 8.7, to discuss legal matters of the Code of Virginia 1950 as amended for the purpose of discussing these items.
Sir, second. Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Chesser. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Board will now enter closed session.
I move closed meeting to adjourn. Cleveland County Board of Supervisors convene again.
No concession. A second. And recorded vote is made.
Your second?
Second.
Your recorded vote, Mr. Chesser?
You.
Mr. Weaver?
No.
Mr. Booker?
Yo.
That's a yes. Mr. Elmbrock?
Yes.
Mr. K. votes aye. That's a 5-0. Mr. Weaver?
The result is the best of my knowledge. And public business matters lawfully exempted from open meeting requirements under Section 2.2-3711-A of the Code of Virginia. 1950 is amended and only says public business matters as were identified in the motion, which is supposed to be
being discussed or considered in the meeting. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion made by Mr. Weaver, seconded by Mr. Allenbrock. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Chair votes aye. Passes 5-0. One thing very quickly, and I apologize for this. I mentioned it to regarding our friend down in Columbia, speed study between the town of Columbia and the Ravanna Bridge. We're going to look into reducing the speed there from, because from 55 and immediately to 35. We're going to be able to do a stretch that would be 45 miles an hour. Mr. Menanzio said that the county got a formally request for a speed study, so we're doing it at this point. So
we'll get that turned in. And that's good, because I hate that stretch.
There was, unfortunately, a peacock was run over today.
I'm
not a certain citizens. I contact Mr. Smoker and myself. Obviously, a 50-pound peacock and a 2-year-old kid running out there chasing a ball is not terribly significant. It is a pretty stiff curve. And on the other end of Columbia, they do have, it does graduate from 55 to 45 to 35. So, in any event, have that taken care of? Anything else for the good of the order?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah, what's happened with that is the pre-op went out and did the study. I talked to Mr. Green about this personally.
Within the last couple of days?
No. When this resulted, while I talked to him.
Back in January?
No. Way after that, Mr. Green.
That's what I'm trying to get at.
Yeah. But anyway, I have a note in my house, and I can tell you what it was. But I talked to him personally. What I've told him is that VDOT did come out and do a study on that. The sight lines are inappropriate. They're just trying to figure out who's going to pay for it because the developers walk. And I think it's in bankruptcy like some of the other ones. Mm-hmm. And there is no one left to do it. Like Taylor Ridge, they're trying to get that road turned on to VDOT, but the developers walk because they went bankrupt or whatever happened. And the VDOT will not take over the road, and the people that live there can't get the road fixed. It's the same thing with Cunningham Meadows. That should have been a requirement of the development by the VDOT.
It's the safety around 53.
No, it's the sight line. The developer,
I've been there and I've been up
there. You've got the road, and the road goes back, and here's 53.
Right.
The developer is required to cut that hill down as part of their development of that because they have to provide adequate sight lines. It just has never been done.
We talked about this a year ago.
Oh, it's been talked about since the
development was done. Right order. Commonwealth, Virginia, sorry.
I'll check my notes, and I've got your email from the other day. I'll check my notes and find out, but I will touch base with him personally again.
Okay.
But I'm almost positive it was way after January, the last time I talked to myself. But anyway, I'll check with him. I didn't get a chance to ask Joel tonight, but I'll talk to Joel, find out what the status of that one is. But they've done their study and already completed it.
Well, he needs to know that and when he gets results.
Okay.
Also, there on the I-620, Rolling Road, we really need errors in that. I'm sorry. I'm 35 miles an hour.
I saw your email. It's got curve signs likewise with 35. I'll ask Joel if there's any way we can pay for it because they're not going to go any farther. They've done their studies. They've looked at 50 ways to Sunday, and they've put the signs up now both ways. But unless we pay for those signs, I don't think there is.
There's been four people killed here.
Over the last 30 or so years.
Four people would be
never think it because it's not the
curve. Really
never think there's a problem ever. I've driven it dozens of times, day and night, to follow up on Mr. Weaver's things. It just happens to be they catch the wheels or whatever, they take it too fast, especially going one direction.
But you go at nighttime.
Yep.
You go into it, you're into it before you know.
Right. Yeah,
no one is there, you go around
it.
No
signs and 135 signs. But if we put the hash marks up on the side, I don't think VDOT, I know VDOT won't pay for it.
Four people have been killed. We need some.
Well, when it comes to saving a life, that's true.
Yeah, I'm not
going to. Okay. You're
This Cunningham Meadows issue, there are a couple other cases where you're going to see the same kind of problem. And what we're seeing is that there is, I don't want to overstate it, but there's something in the nature of the white knight for some of these things. And that is, the banks that finance them have foreclosed them. And so the banks are now invested in getting stuff done so they can resell them. And you're going to hear more about that in the future.
That makes sense.
Well, what's going to make sense is how we work out with the bank, who's taking the risks and things like that. But you're going to hear more about this in the future.
There's a ton. You got me, Corey.
I gave a list of all the ones I know that both of them gave me a plan 2 weeks ago.
It's not a great list.
I want that shit out of my mouth. I was available to give up the unfinished subdivision out there. So as you are considering things, the planning commission is, if you think about, oh, by the way, there's already a subdivision there that has roads in and electricity, but yeah, two houses in there. There are dozens of
houses. You want to talk about Walker things like that.
But
the homes are yet to be built. The active means a calendar bridge with this part of the roof and nothing you can do about it. And the reason it's a little sort of a real part, nothing you can do about it.
Let us work on it.
We've got to make sure that you can do it. We're not going to see the inside.
And you didn't try to turn down that road. Can you
still what they built in
53? Yes, sir. You know, it was several years ago.
I need a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.